So let's open the scriptures, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Moreover, brethren, I declared unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which ye also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Verse number 12. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Ye and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen, hallelujah, from the dead, and become the firstfruits of them that slept. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the firstfruits of them that slept. We know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious and his infallible word. You know, all but four of the major world's religion are based on philosophical propositions. And of those four that are based on personalities rather than philosophies, only Christianity claims an empty tomb for its founder. 1900 BC, Judaism's father Abraham died and was buried. In 483 BC, we have Buddha's writing says, Buddha died with that utter passing away into which nothing whatsoever remains behind. June the 6th, 632 AD, Muhammad died. And of course we know that at the age of 33, the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary and Jesus died. But praise God, there's a difference about this story, because not only did Jesus die, but the Lord Jesus Christ is alive. He came back to life again, and he appeared to many over a period of 40 days. All of the leaders of religion are dead leaders. But thank God, Jesus Christ, the one who is the captain of our salvation, thank God he is alive. He conquered death. He conquered the grave. And he is seated at the right hand of God, a prince and a savior. And I want us to think about tonight, what are the differences that the resurrection of Christ really makes in our lives? What difference does it make that Christ is a risen Savior? First of all, I want to tell you the evidences of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we've only time to go into just a simple few of them this evening. The evidence of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he alone is the one who died and said, I am alive forevermore. And praise God, Jesus Christ is living. We started in our service tonight and we were singing, I serve a risen Savior, and he's in the world today. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. And all others will go to the tombs of their heroes or go to the tombs of the religious fathers. But my friend, the tombs are occupied and the bodies have wasted away. But thank God, the tomb of Christ is empty and Jesus Christ is alive forevermore. I suggest, first of all, one of the evidences of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is the empty tomb. Thank God there's an empty tomb tonight. Now, the Word of God takes us to the cross. And there we see the sufferings of the Lamb of God that came to take away the sin of the world. It tells us here in verse number 3, it says how Christ died for our sins. And there we realize why the Lord Jesus Christ died. The Word of God is very clear. He actually died. He died for our sins. He died as our substitute to pay the penalty of our sin, to satisfy divine justice, that you and I could be saved and satisfied in Christ. Hallelujah, forevermore. Over in the Sabbath school this morning, I was speaking to the boys and girls, and I was telling them how that Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus took the body so lovingly and so tenderly down from the cross. And they took him and they wrapped the Lord Jesus Christ in linen cloths, little strips of linen cloths that the people were the dead were buried in. And then they would take those aloes and they would take that myrrh, and my, there was a 100-pound weight that Nicodemus had brought, and they prepared the body of the Lord Jesus Christ for burial. And then they put him in the tomb. And the Bible says that they rolled that stone. It was Joseph of Arimathea, it was Nicodemus, and they rolled that stone against the door. The Bible says it was a very great stone. Now, my friends, whenever the Lord Jesus Christ was left in that tomb, and the women who watched the scene, they went away, and Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus went away, the Bible tells us in Matthew's Gospel that the next day, that the chief priests and the Pharisees, they had a conversation together. And in Matthew chapter 27, and in the verse number 63, it says, saying, "Sir, we remember," they went on to Pilate and says, "Sir, we remember that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again." Isn't it interesting that the ungodly heard Jesus speaking about his resurrection? And yet, although the Lord Jesus spoke many times about him dying and then that he would rise again, how the disciples did not take it in. The only thing I can think about is this. You see, when the Lord Jesus talked about him dying, they didn't want to hear that. And you know, friends, when some people don't want to hear things, they just shut off. They don't want to hear. Some people come into gospel meetings. And you see, when it comes to the singing, they'll go through the singing. My, they'll even open the scriptures. But you see, when it comes to the preaching of God's word, they shut off. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear about their sin. They don't want to hear about the judgment of God because of their sin. They don't want to hear about the wrath of God, which will be upon their soul for all eternity. They just shut off. And you see, whenever the disciples heard about Jesus saying, "I'm going, I'm leaving you, and I'm going to die, and they'll put me to a cross," and my, he told them about rising again, he told them that he'd go before them into Galilee, my friend, they forgot all about it. They just did not take it in. But the ungodly did. The ungodly did. They heard about that. And so the chief priests and the Pharisees, they went on to Pilate and they said, "This deceiver, this imposter, this deceiver, it says that he's going to rise again." And they said, "Listen, put a guard upon the tomb. Don't let him out. Don't let him out. Keep him in," because they did not want this man, Jesus, to rise from the tomb. Oh, they said, you know, some of his disciples will come and they'll steal away his body and they'll say he has risen. And so therefore, they said, put a seal upon the door. I was also saying in the Sabbath school this morning, whenever the women left that tomb, and when they were coming back, all they would think about is, what about the stone? What about the stone? They never thought about the soldiers. And the reason for that was this. The soldiers weren't thought about until the next day. It was the next day after the burial of Christ that these men came and said to Pilate, "Listen, Pilate, you better put soldiers on guard over this tomb because they're going to take the body of Christ out of it." And then what did they do? They put the Roman seal upon the stone. Ah, yes, because they knew that whenever they would seal it with a Roman seal, the wrath of Rome's judgment would be upon them if they would dare break that seal. And so they were so sure, this man Jesus, he's in the tomb. He'll not be able to get out of the tomb. But I have news for you tonight. In spite of the stone, the large stone, the very great stone, in spite of all the soldiers that gathered round the tomb, in spite of the seal that was put upon the tomb, hallelujah, Christ did rise.
He did rise. Ah, the stone didn't mean anything to Jesus. The one who made this earth. My, the God who made this world of ours. It was nothing to him to deal with a stone. And the stone was rolled away. The angel of the Lord came down. But Jesus Christ, the Son of God, he was away. The tomb was empty. And when the first persons came in to look, my, they saw the tomb was empty. There was the evidence. And what did the angel of the Lord say? Why are you looking? Why are you searching amongst the dead for the one who's living? What are you looking for the living among the dead? You don't expect the living to be in the tomb, do you? He's not here. He's risen. And then he says, look, there's where he lay. There's the place. That's where he lay. But he's not there anymore. Praise God, my friend. Here is the evidence tonight that our Savior lives. Our Savior lives because the tomb is empty. You know, the critics, they tried to explain it away, but I want to tell you, my friend, I thank God that he is living. He's alive forevermore. He rose and rose for you and me. And the biblical Christianity stands upon the empty tomb. Hallelujah. He's not there. He's not on the cross anymore. Thank God he's not in the tomb anymore. But he's on the throne tonight. And he ever lives to make intercession for us. There is, my friend, the first evidence of the resurrection. It is the empty tomb. Secondly, the extended testimony. The extended testimony. And what I mean by that is this, my friend. The early believers did not believe that Jesus Christ was risen simply because of the empty tomb. Do you know why they believed he was risen? Because they saw him. They saw him. They met the risen Christ. Quickly turn to Mark's Gospel chapter 16. And in Mark's Gospel chapter 16, it says in verse number 9, now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast 7 devils. And she went and told them that had been with him, that is to the disciples, as they mourned and wept. You see, here were the disciples. They were mourning and they were crying because Jesus was dead. Their friend was dead. The Messiah was dead. The one they'd hoped for was dead. And they were weeping. Verse number 11, and they, when they heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, Oh, they believed not. But she did. She did because she saw him. She saw him. Do you remember how that she was standing there and she thought he was the gardener? And she said, they've taken away my Lord and I don't know where they have laid him. Please tell me. And he said unto her, Mary. And friend, there was something in that word. And Mary fell at his feet and she says, Rabboni, Master, I've seen the Lord. She saw the Lord in person. And my, that was a wonderful thing, the extended witness. Go to John's Gospel. John's Gospel, chapter 20. Friend, I wish I had time to go into all this tonight, but I can only just glance in. John 20, look at verse 18. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord. Aye, and that he had spoken these things unto her. She not only seen him, she heard his voice. He said those wonderful, that simple word, Mary. My, what a wonderful thing it was when Jesus spoke to her that day. And that he had spoken these things unto her. Then look at verse 19. Then the same day of the week, being the first day, or same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut and when the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed them his hands and his side. And there were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. They saw the Lord. Mary said, I've seen the Lord. I've seen the Lord. And he spoke to me. But they didn't believe. But then, thank God, he came into their midst. And the Savior said, peace be unto you. And thank God, that changed it. They were glad because they had seen the Lord. Go down to verse 25. The other disciple therefore saith unto him, we have seen the Lord. He said unto them, that's Thomas saith unto them, except I see in his hands the prints of a nail, and put my fingers into the prints of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. After 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them, and then came Jesus, and the doors being shut, and he stood in the midst, said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, he says, Thomas, reach hither thy finger. Behold my hands. Now reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. And friend, we could go over and over again. The witnesses, do you know this? That 500 witnesses testify of seeing the Lord Jesus Christ. The extended testimony proves that Jesus Christ was risen from the dead. But then thirdly, the eloquent transformation. Because you see, when they met the resurrected Christ, their lives were changed. Their lives were changed. Something wonderful happened to his disciples. Remember, whenever the disciples had, when the Lord Jesus Christ had died, what did they say? Or rather, when he was arrested, they said, they all forsook him and fled. Fear ridden. And then we read here in John's Gospel, chapter 20, and it tells us here that they were, the doors being shut because the disciples were assembled together, verse 19, for fear of the Jews. Once again, fear had gripped them. And then Jesus stood in the midst and he said, peace be unto you, friend. And something happened within those disciples. That whenever you read about these disciples, what do you find them in the book of the Acts of the Apostles? Going here, there, and yonder, totally unashamed of Christ. For example, it says in Mark's Gospel, chapter 16, and just the last verse of the book of Mark's Gospel, in verse number 20, and they went forth, and they preached everywhere. The Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. They went everywhere. They weren't in behind closed doors now. They weren't cowed down in fear because of the Jews. No, they went everywhere. What doing? Preaching Christ. What made the difference, friend? They had met the risen, living Savior. They had a message to proclaim. Our Lord reigns. Our Savior. He's alive. He's living. Man tried to destroy him. But praise God, the grave could not hold him. Because Jesus Christ was living. Do you remember when Peter and John stood up there and Peter spoke with power? What did it say? They knew that they were unlearned and ignorant men. But what did they take knowledge of? They took knowledge that they've been with Jesus. Friend, tell me, does the world see that in you and me? Do they take knowledge that we have been with Jesus? From doubt to determination. From confusion to conviction. From fear to faith. What made the change? It was the risen Christ. But friend, in closing today, this evening, but what effect has that resurrection of Christ upon me as a child of God? I believe the resurrection answers five things. I'm only giving them to you. Don't worry. Don't take a heart attack. But I want to tell you, my friend, it answers five questions. First of all, it answers the question of doubt. It answers the question of doubt. You study the evidence, and friend, you'll find that it's true. And thank God you can displace that doubt with faith. Let me show you a little verse. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. If you have been at a funeral service here, and when I'm standing at the graveside, I always read this passage of God's word. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, this is what it says, verse 13. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, if we believe it. Do you remember what Jesus said to the doubting father? He says, fear not. He says, only believe. Believe me. Believe me. And my friend, if you come to the Word of God with an open heart and you search the Scriptures and you realize there is an empty tomb and you listen to the extended witness and you realize that indeed there's an eloquent transformation on those that met the Lord Jesus, that risen Christ, thank God, and you know that Jesus Christ is alive, thank God it'll remove your doubts. If we believe, you've got to trust Him. It not only answers the question of doubt, it answers the question of loneliness. Because there are many people today, and they say to me, you know, nobody cares. And yet the Word of God says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But friend, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says, as Christ died for our sin, He identified Himself with you. Maybe tonight you feel that nobody cares about you, friend. What a charge against the one who loved you so much to die for your sin upon the cross of Calvary. It says in God's word that He died for your sin and He rose again for your justification. Because of your justification. Do you think He doesn't care? Do you think that God's not interested in you? I want to tell you, my friend, I don't care what others think about you. God loves His children. God loves us. Child of God, you may not be important to anybody else. You're important to Him. He loved me, and He gave Himself a ransom for me. And you and I can have an amazing relationship with Christ. And you see, when we're saved, friend, you know what He says? I'll never leave you. And everybody else can go for Him. But if you have Christ, you have everything. Give me Jesus, Jesus only. I possess a cluster rare. He's the Son of brightest splendor. And the rose of Sharon, fair. Are you lonely tonight? Maybe you feel that nobody understands what you're going through. Let me tell you, my friend, no one will ever understand the loneliness of that hour, of the hours, as the Savior was down in the depths of the pit, waiting for the day of crucifixion. And He did it for you and me. Thank God He's alive. He's with us. I'm not lonely anymore. The old song was, we'll never walk alone. Friend, that's true of the child of God tonight. You'll never walk alone, for Thou art with me. The answer to loneliness, the answer to weakness. Because the same power that raised our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, thank God that power is available for you and for me tonight. Yes, we all have to face death. And there's something within us that man doesn't want to die. And yet, friend, what does the Word of God say? Oh, death, where's thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? Thanks be unto God that giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God he is a victorious Christ. He was victorious over death. He was victorious over sin. He was victorious over hell. He was victorious over the grave. Hallelujah. My friend, tonight, we can be more than conquerors through him that loved us. You've often heard me say, some people say when you ask them, well, how are you in your Christian? Well, I'm going on with God in my own wee weak way. What an awful load of rubbish. What rubbish. I know God doesn't want you to go on in your own weak way. God has power to give you. It's the power of the Holy Ghost. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. He'll change your life. He'll give you power to serve him because the resurrected Christ, thank God, through our Lord Jesus Christ, we are more than conquerors. Thanks be unto God that giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Then fourthly, the question of guilt. And friend, thank God the resurrection of Christ is the answer to man's guilt because, listen, the resurrection is the proof that God accepted the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on your behalf and mine. Thank God he satisfied all the demands of divine justice. The sin-bearing Christ bore our sins in his own body on the tree. And thank God of those that repent of their sin and turn to Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth from all sin. You know what he says? He says, your sin's iniquity will I remember no more. Blotted out the answer to my guilt. I dare not stand before God in my sin, friend. Neither do you. But thank God the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. And lastly, the answer to the question of death. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, going back to 1 Thessalonians 4, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Thank God there's life beyond the grave. You know, Paul said, to be absent from the body, it was to be present with the Lord. He went on to say, he said, to be with Christ, which is far better. This is what Job said. Job 19, verse 25, I know that my Redeemer liveth. Do you know tonight he's living? What does that mean to you, friend? Job says, I know that my Redeemer liveth and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. Listen, and though after my skin worms destroy this body, listen to this, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself. And mine eyes shall behold, and not another. Are you afraid of death tonight? I want to tell you, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, says the psalmist, I'll fear no evil. Why? He says, for thou art with me. We serve a risen Christ. One night, while conducting an evangelistic meeting in the Salvation Army Citadel in Chicago, Booth Tucker preached a sermon on the sympathy of Christ. After his message was over, a man walked up to Booth Tucker, approached him and said,
If your wife had just died like mine has, and your babies were crying for their mother like mine, who had never a mother, who had never come back, you wouldn't say what you're saying, Tucker. And Booth Tucker knew that he hadn't stood in those shoes. He had never walked in the loneliness that that man walked in. But listen to me, friend. Just a few days later, tragically, Booth Tucker's wife was killed in a train wreck. Her body was brought to Chicago. It was carried to the same citadel in Chicago as Tucker stood before for the funeral. After the service, the bereaved preacher looked down into the silent face of his wife, and then he turned to the congregation, and this is what he said. He said, "The other day, a man told me that I wouldn't speak of the sympathy of Jesus if my wife had just died." He says, "If that man is here today, I want to tell him that Christ is sufficient. My heart is broken, but it has a song put there by Jesus." He said, "I want that man to know that Jesus Christ speaks comfort to me today." I don't care what else you have, friend. If you have in Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you have no hope. You may have money, but you have no hope for eternity. The Lord Jesus says, "For those who are in Christ, we sorrow not even as others who have no hope." And there are multitudes tonight that have no hope. There is no hope for them beyond the grave. But now is Christ risen. And he's just the first fruits of them that slept. But praise God, we are the harvest. We're the harvest. He's the first fruits. But thank God, those who sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Hallelujah. Thank God, in Christ you have a blessed hope for time and for eternity. Yes, thank God, Jesus Christ, the risen Christ, the exalted Christ, the saving Christ, is the answer to your soul. May you run to him tonight. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you tonight for thy precious word. We thank you, Lord, that Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures. And although he was buried and lay in that tomb, we bless God that the grief or death or even corruption could not touch him. For thank God, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, rose, and he showed to his disciples his hands and his feet. He said to doubting Thomas, "Put your fingers in there, Thomas, for it's I, the real living Jesus." And Thomas cried out, "My Lord, my God, my Lord, my God." I wonder if your head's about an eyes closed tonight. Is he yours? Are you saved? Can you honestly say from the depths of your heart, preacher, "Thank God, I'm glad that Jesus lived, aye, and died, and rose again for me"? And one day, in Christ, I'll be with him. Ah, but if you're not saved tonight, please, I beg you in God's name, don't walk away from him. He loved you. He died to save you. Will you come? One little verse and the meeting's over. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. Hallelujah. And that thou bidst me come to thee. Do you not hear him say tonight, Daddy? Daddy, come to me. Granda, come to me. Mommy, Granny, little boy, little girl, the extended hands of love and mercy and grace. And the Savior says, come to me. And that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Is that your answer?